Friends Podcast.
Hi, I'm Diane Hunt. I'm an impressionist realist painter connecting with nature through my brush. I work in oil paint and watercolor, and I live in the countryside of Maryland's Eastern Shore, not far from the Chesapeake Bay. You can find me online at dianehuntstudio.com. and on Facebook and Instagram at Diane Hunt Studio.
Hi, I'm Constance Brosnan of Steve Brosnan's Jewelry Designs. I live in Oklahoma on a prairie, and I make handmade jewelry in silver, copper, and brass. I'm an artist that paints. I paint pastels and in oils sometimes.
Hello, this is Bob J. Gale. I'm the host of this podcast. I am a emerging representational artist. I do historic renderings, seascapes, landscapes, botanicals, birds, and whatnot, with a tight illustrative hand in watercolor, pen and ink, and acrylic paints. And I live in Oklahoma City. Welcome to the Artist Friends Podcast. My name is Clyde J. Gale. It is Monday, September the 6th, our first episode, episode 113 for the month of September. And I'm here with my two best artist friends, Diane Hunt and Constance Bronson. Hello, Diane.
Hi, Clyde. Hi, Constance. Hello, everyone.
Hi, Diane. Hi, Clyde. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Constance. Well, fall asleep on me there for a second.
No, I was just waiting for you to cue me in.
All right. Welcome to the podcast. I say this episode 113. And in the notice that I sent out, I said I was going to make an announcement. And here's a teaser. The announcement will be near the end of this episode, but the teaser is it's not gallery related. It's not exhibition related, and it's not grant related. However, it can lead to all those things in the future. We'll leave that as a teaser, and I'll discuss that near the end of the podcast. For our listeners, if you go to www.talkartpodcast.com. That's our information page, and we have the links to videos on the YouTube for our discussion. And this week, basically, it's about our studio practice and keeping motivated to create art. That first video that we had on the list there by artist Ethan Hawk. Diane, did you enjoy that? You want to add any more input to that? Or?
Yeah, he was just talking about how artists of any kind, really, actors or dancers or any of the artists, how we are so important in this world, like how we connect to people in a way that they don't expect, and how people don't think you need the arts and stuff a lot of times. And like he was talking about a poet, and a lot of times you don't think you need like poetry or any kind of art really until something happens, like somebody dies or, some big event in your life where you want to celebrate basically, or help you get through the bad times, then you turn to the arts to help you do that. And
it shouldn't, it really shouldn't be that way. It should be something you can access all the time and make that connection. But artists make connections through the different vehicles that they work in. Like, I mean, we're all painters, so we're visual. So people, you know, see our art and they respond in a certain way, you know, make the connection with the painting in some way. It either reminds them of some place they've been or somebody they know or, you know, something. Sometimes it's a good feeling and sometimes it's not, but this art is just important in that way. Like it brings more fulfillment to your life, I guess.
Yeah. So, like the time we just give yourself permission to create. Constance, what's your comments on that video?
You know, art is pretty much, to me, everywhere you look. I mean, and also, I think that if you lose somebody, a lot of times people like to have a portrait done of the person that they've lost. Or when we go to a funeral, sometimes if we've lost a person, we always like to have certain music played at that funeral. Or when people get married, they like a certain kind of music played, you know, at the ceremonies when they get married. And that's art. I mean, jewelry is art. People love jewelry for weddings and things like that. I mean, art is just, I mean, having a beautiful day outside. We like to paint landscapes and things. And even if it's raining out, we like to paint things like that. Or if it's cold and dreary outside, there's nothing like a really nice, moody landscape painting. So it's just, and it just evokes all kinds of feelings, you know. So.
Now, the and of course, the second video was a slap in the face from Gary Vaynerchuk. And before we started recording, for our listeners, Constance said, "You were directing that to me." And yeah, I think I had Constance in my mind because she's been going through a really rough time, a really down period here, and she's now finally coming out of it. She's getting back to creating art. She's doing her jewelry and everything. And, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk's, you know, his comments there. Let's see. Got to turn my head to look at it.
How to start loving yourself right now.
Yeah. Loving yourself right now.
Well, cutting out the negativity and all of that. I mean, I did have a rough 10 months. And it's been a real battle to make myself get back out to the studio. And there were things that had gone wrong out here in the studio, and I pretty much got them all licked, you know. But then to have to, in trying to get myself back in a good frame of mind to get back out here and get to work. So it's been a real struggle, you know, with the lights and the furniture, and then getting the migraines back under control. I mean, the migraines just whooped them on behind. And so they're back under control. And then the medication that I take to keep them under control just really are not that easy to have to take all the time. You know, they mess with you, your body, you know, and your head. So, yeah. But so everything's starting to mellow back out, and I'm getting adjusted to them and stuff. So,
did Gary's talk some more inspiration, some more motivation?
Yeah, I like that. Mission, you just get on a mission and have purpose, all that stuff, you know. So, yeah.
Mission accomplished.
It's like, yeah, nobody cares about all the crap you're going through, you know. But the thing is that I went through it, and I have to just get past it all and get busy. You know, that's the point.
The only difference, you know, Gary emphasizes that, you know, is that no one else really cares. I'm not going to use the language he used, but no one.
Yeah. And I know that nobody does, but it's just something I had to work through, you know. So
I have to disagree.
I'm getting there.
Because the two of us, we care. Right, Diane?
Yeah.
It's really hard, though,
when you're going through something like that, and you it knocks you off your rocker, basically. trying to keep the negativity at bay because you're so depressed, basically, because you can't do the, you know, your normal day-to-day stuff, let alone create art. So it is hard to, but he was talking about like when negative comments, basically from other people and negative people around you in your environment, trying to keep them at, you know, at arm's length. And if you try to push the negative stuff out and bring more positive stuff in.
Yeah.
So I think that is a valid thing to do because there are so many people that, you know, you tell them you're an artist and they think you're crazy.
The first thing comes out of your mouth. So you make a pretty good living at that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the first thing that comes out of their mouth, you know, and it's like,
that's not the point.
Point, you know, an artist's life is not about money, you know, we hope that comes and that, you know, but the point is to give ourselves permission to create the art, not to beat ourselves up and, you know, and to avoid the negativity. And this is an ongoing process, folks, just because, you know, okay, I had a pretty good week, things are going, and then next week everything falls apart. You know, someone goes and steps on your bandwagon, as they say, somebody, you know, steps on your tail you post a painting on social media and somebody goes and says, you know what, that's really crap.
You know? I've never had that happen,
because most of the areas where I post, the moderated groups, and they don't allow that.
Right. But I mean, one of the things is to not step on your own feet when you're doing your artwork. I mean, for instance, myself, I'm my own worst critic. That is, you know, and a lot of artists are like that themselves, you know, is to manage to not step on your own feet in the process of being an artist. Because a lot of us do expect perfectionism out of ourselves. And that's one of our big problems is not stepping on our own feet.
Well, Ethan was talking about, you know, not like playing the fool.
Right.
You know, you can't be.
Be foolish.
Well, but you can't worry about what other people think of your art. You have to create the art that you create for yourself first and not worry so much about what other people think of it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that just like kills your creativity. You know, if you're always worried about what somebody else was going to think of you or your art. So you kind of have to not pay attention to that stuff.
Right. Don't worry about it. Just create it. I mean, it may not be the perfect piece that time, but if you keep going in a certain direction, you have to practice it, doing what you do and not worry about what you're doing because you don't know what's going to come of what you do. I mean, you have to keep practicing it in order to get to a place where you want to be.
I think it was Stefan.
I don't know if that makes all that sense.
I was listening to a Stefan Bauman discussion one time. And he said, you've got to develop that mentality that children, when children are starting out with creating art, I mean, that doesn't look like an elephant. That doesn't look like a dog. That doesn't look like a man. But when they're, you know, starting out, they don't care. They're just happy that they, you know, that they did that. So you have got to kind of adopt that childlike mentality in a sense, you know, that, hey, you know, so what? It made me happy. It made me smile. Yeah.
Do what you love.
And if it makes somebody else smile, that's even better. Yeah. I think that leads into the next video, which is from Raffi and Klee. And they're talking about, their adventure. I guess they're getting ready to move. They're going to move north permanently. They're going around. And of course, they're recording their adventure, looking at visiting different art communities and different places. But, his talk was more, he says, don't be afraid to step out of yourself. I think that's a perfect segue for what we've been discussing is that, you know, we sometimes we have to use the English term, have the stiff upper lip and step out and do something that's a little bit outside of our box, a little bit outside of our comfort, you know, level. What do you two think about that? Diane?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you have to do that constantly, because otherwise you get stagnant. And you can't be afraid to do that. You know, everything, I mean, things are constantly changing no matter what you do. And you're, as a person, as you as a person is are constantly changing. So, you know, you don't want to fight that, and just be accepting of it and take things one step at a time and try different things. You can't be afraid to try stuff. I mean, that's a big part of art, is trying things and not being afraid that you might fail at it. You know, it's all part of it. So,
oh, it won't sell or something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
I used to call it a white knuckle ride. I can remember getting in. I used to drive a tractor trailer. I know you, Diane, you said your sister does, but imagine taking an 80,000 pound vehicle across the United States for the first time. That is, I mean, and when I was driving, you could go 100 miles in those miles an hour in those trucks if they weren't turned down. You get on the freeway and go 100 miles an hour in those things.
No.
That is that's a white knuckle, right? And then, you know, then you get to those places on the freeway where they've got those concrete dividers on each side of the road because they're working on the highway, and you're doing it 100 miles an hour. And then you've got what they used to call a convoy, where there's like 10 trucks following each other across country. And you're doing 100 miles an hour. One truck nuts up and all of you are smashed all over the freeway. So, yeah, that's what you call a white knuckle road. But it's the same thing. You can't think about all that. You can think a little bit about it, but you just say, okay, God, you got it. This is dependent on you for this. You just have to do it. Just do it.
You got to trust the process and just, you know, try things. All right, Clyde, what's your announcement?
There's two more videos.
Time for that.
All right. Yep. Okay. The announcement is, it's not anything real. Both of you know, I did some seascapes based on my daughter's photographs, and I posted on social media. And I don't remember which site it was on, but one of my, in the social media, someone put a comment that, hey, that looks almost like the tonalism type painting. I had never heard of that term. I thought it was a negative term. So I immediately looked it up. Ooh, wow. And then I found videos on YouTube. And I said, wow. And that's how come I got a couple of recommendations for our listener, www.talkartpodcast.com. You'll see two videos that kind of explain what tonalism is, you know, the technique and everything. And it got me to thinking, you know, I do a wide variety of art, but one thing that I always admired, I admired tonalism art. And I wanted to replicate it, but I didn't know how, because I really loved that poetic, atmospheric, almost sentimental, you know, type, you know, environment. And I had been working on trying to achieve that, regardless if it was in watercolor or oil, on seascapes and landscapes, but I was always falling short. And some of them that were somewhat similar were what, you know, Stefan Bauman calls happy accidents. Okay. The announcement, and to some people may not be a big deal, but it's a very big deal for me. I've spent the last couple of days, probably 8 hours or more, watching the different new modern tonalism artists painting the tonalism style, plus some of the other historical, you know, artists, of how it came about. You know, it was a style of art that came about, American style of art that came about in the early or mid 1800s, 1890s, I think, and it went all the way up into the 1920s. And then Impressionism hit, and pretty much kind of eliminated it. And now that I know on purpose how to create, see, I never knew how to do that before. I had hit it by accident occasionally, but now that I know specifically, because I didn't even know what the term was to even look it up, you know, to, but now I know going forward, I'm very much going to be a tonalism style type artist with regards to my landscapes and seascapes. And, maybe then I'll expand it into other areas, but, I'll still do my religious type paintings occasionally. I'll still do my, got my Pompeii series. You know, these are things that, you know, that bring me real personal enjoyment at doing, but the, overall for landscapes and seascapes, I'm going to, really try to master the, tonalism style. Now, secondary to that announcement, and all of our discussion so far, this really kind of leads to it. But everything that's been going on in the world, in Afghanistan and the COVID and everything, I didn't realize it, but I had, you guys didn't know this, but I actually had first of all, it was anger and had gotten myself into a depression, a certain kind of depression to where I could blame it on artist block, but that wasn't it. It was all these other things. And it took me a lot to, you know, I returned to religion to try to, you know, get out of it. That helped a little bit, but this little comment about tonalism was a jolt to me because we need the, instead of the most normal human thing is to strike out in anger. There've been so many times I had wanted to make, you know, negative comments across social media, you know, whatever, but what we need as artists, our responsibility is to create more beauty in the world. And so my announcement is my promise to our listeners that I'm going to up my game in creating more beautiful art, more art to bring more beauty to the world. Because I think that in the end is how some of these issues will get solved, you know? And I think there's a lot of people, not only me, but my fellow veterans and across, there are a lot of people that are really, really hurting. I mean, it's been a fact that the suicide hotlines have overflowing. So there are people, and in our previous discussion, like what, you know, we led to that art, needs arts. That's the real purpose of art. And as artists, it's no longer, well, I want to create this painting so I can sell it, or this painting brings me joy. It's an extra responsibility now to provide this joy to someone else, to actually touch someone else, and to help in the healing process. So that's kind of my announcement. I know it's not what anybody expected, but it's, for me, it's a self-awareness review. And, I haven't been doing my job. I've got to do more. I've got to, you know, do more and everything. So, now this could lead to obtaining a grant, getting into exhibitions, winning awards, getting, yeah, this could lead, that would be icing on the cake. The main purpose of my art now is to help heal that soul out there who is hurting really, really bad. And the only way to do it is to create this art and put it out on as many platforms as possible, which is, you know, I have quite a few platforms. You two know that I post my art a lot more than you guys, you know, everywhere. It's to get it out there even more. You know, somebody may review the website looking for a tote bag, and see a piece of my artwork on that, okay, they got to have it. Or, you know, they maybe they want to buy the original. But that's all icing on the cake. The important thing is that it actually to create the beautiful artwork that has the brilliance and has the luminosity, and the totalism style is very much what I know I can do. And I admire so much. So you two want to add anything to that, or do you think I'm all bogus? Just talk.
You need to go look at my about section on my website. That's been a goal of mine, to bring more beauty into the world and help people heal and help them to reach their souls and make that connection. So I think it's a really important thing for artists to be able to do that.
Well, you know, I hear a lot of artists say that. I read a lot of artists, but my mother always says, words are nothing, but action is what counts. And I think I'm not saying you don't, but I've seen a lot of artists say, you know, they kind of falter. And of course, we're all human beings, you know, so sure, we step back. That's why our previous discussion, you know, of keeping at it and keeping ourselves motivated and everything. So,
and also the tonalism thing, Charlie Hunter is probably the top person right now that does tonalism. I don't know if you came across his name at all when you were doing your research.
What's
his name?
Some of the videos that I was watching there, I didn't post them because they were an hour long. There was one video, it was part one was an hour and part two was almost an hour. I think it was Charlie Hunter. I think that's who I was
watching. Yeah, you'll have to check him out if you haven't seen him already. He's really good.
I just loved the individual's teaching style and how he, you know, I was just like amazed. I can do that because, you know, I've been experimenting with glazing. You know, I like so all these different techniques and things I've been learning with Kelly Folsom's class, you know, working in the quad, you know, reading out, you know, your art before you start, and the handling of the brushes, and this all comes into play now. So I've got the knowledge now. I've got to do it, and I wanted to publicly announce this because it's okay to, you know, amongst ourselves privately, but I want to publicly announce this so that since we have hundreds
on some accountability, huh?
we have hundreds of listeners, you know, listen to this podcast. So 6 months down the line, if there's not very many paintings being produced by Clyde, you know, guys, you two can come back and I give you two permission to beat me up, but I'll probably my listeners too. Say, hey, Clyde.
You get a tongue lashing.
Yep. Constance, what about you?
What do you mean?
You want to add anything to what I said? Because you're coming out of a kind of a funk period, so
yeah, I'm just so proud not to have. I had 3 migraines last month. That is so much less than in February. I had 16.
Yeah,
and you know February is only 28 days. Now imagine having 16 of those 28 days with migraines. I mean, you know, and even in May I had a lot. So in January, no, June and July were still high. August was 3. I think I had 9 in July and 9 in June. But May, I forget how many I had in May, but they've, you know, it's back under control, and it's really nice. Good. And I've had a chance to actually catch my breath for a month. You know what I'm saying? Even at 9, it was better than having 16 in 1 month.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I mean, that was half of the 16 almost. So, but yeah, it's like I can almost catch my breath, you know?
It was just...
this is nice.
That one comment from that viewer was like a jolt, because, and then, like I said, when I started thinking, I said, why haven't you been doing this, Clyde? Why haven't you, you know, it's at your fingertips. What is going on with you? You know, really a strong talking to myself. And, you know, and I said, okay.
Well, you can always try it and see if that works for you.
I'm going to make a public commitment, you know, and that, announcement in a way. It's not your traditional, like, you know, other people think, whoa, big deal. For a non-artist, I mean, it's a big deal, but for other artists listening, they probably know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And the tonalism style was, these are two just, I just picked because they were shortest. You know, there's a lot more to it than what these two guys, you know, show. But, and there's, you know, some of them, they change a little bit, but the very basics stays the same. You know, it all stays the same, you know, working with a limited palette of colors concentrating more on the color transition not saturating, you know, the color so much giving it a poetic, misty type and, you know, what some people call sentimental, but I find that I like that. I really like, cause it is a way of expressing how you feel about something. Really expressing how you feel about, you know, about certain mood. I think that's why Diane likes, she's in her studio right now. She's got a beach scene.
I love beach scenes. I've done quite a few of them when I lived in.
That one completed to your, behind your shoulder, that big one, is that a completed one or?
Yeah.
That's the heart.
Okay.
He's talking about this one over here.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
Now the one off the side, this larger one, is it completed? Or is it one you're working? Mm-hmm. It's a completed one too. Yeah. Yep. So, and these, you know, express a certain mood, so in a sense, you're already kind of working in that tonalism type style.
That one.
You know, maybe a little more impressionistic because your colors are brighter, you know?
Yeah. I do some of my underpainting sometimes is more, tonalism type painting. Depends on, sometimes I do that, sometimes like I do a no tan kind of thing underneath the painting.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the tonalism idea, but I don't always do that, so.
Yeah. But I like the, you know, and the glazing. Oh my God. I, cause as soon as I saw that, I said in that cheesecake I did for my daughter, I have a lot of glazing on and that comes through. It just makes the color just luminous, just absolutely luminous, you know? And, it makes it extremely hard to photograph too. Mm-hmm. A lot of glare here. Yeah. Okay, so that's a big announcement, all right? That's a commitment. I'm making myself accountable to you, the listeners, the viewers of my art, that I'm going to create more beauty, far more beauty, give more of my heart to my art and put aside, not to be a fool, because all the stuff that's going on does affect you, but to put aside a lot of this stuff that is happening and concentrate on the art, because my internet radio station, you know, I have accomplished that with my internet radio station by the emails I get, you know, the listeners, and just like I had a funny comment from a listener yesterday. There is a series called G.I. Jive and with Jill of G.I. Jive. It was a World War II musical series. And it was only about 15 minutes long, where it was a female disc jockey, and she played the servicemen's requests. They record the recordings, and then they sent a disc all over to the world, so wherever the G.I.s were at, they could play it and hear. Yeah, and they could then – were encouraged to write to Los Angeles, you know, for, you know, the play request. As a very hometown girl voice, and very sweet, but not too slutty like, you know, or just, in fact, millions of GIs fell in love with her, you know. And, this listener, I had played some of her shows, and he sent me an email. It says, Clyde, please, please, he said, capital letter, play more G.I. Jive, Jill. I looked her up. I got a picture of her. I got it on the wall. Whatever she plays, that's my dream girl. Got a kick out of it. He's lusting after a 90-something. She's still a 90-something-year-old woman. Yeah.
Oh, no.
But there's not much known about her. She played for the Armed Service Radio Service, Armed Forces Radio Service. She did that program during the entire time of the war. And after World War II, she quit and disappeared, went back to private life. And didn't, you know, her name was Martha Matheson or something like that was her actual name. And she, the reason why she did it was her husband was overseas in the war, fighting the war, and she was lonely. So that was her way of connecting with her husband, was, you know, playing the music. So, and that's all it's known about her. We don't know where she lived, you know, where she moved to. And she moved out of Los Angeles, of course, and she just kind of disappeared, you know. And the station manager, you know, they respected her privacy, and she just kind of disappeared. But she made a definite impact on millions of listeners. So, and she's still doing it today. She's still, you know, so. I've accomplished that with my, and that gives me so much joy. But my purpose now is to blend that with my art, to step up my game and push it up even more.
Yeah, that's an important point, though. Like, you don't know how your, whatever art you do, you don't know how it's affecting somebody, and how, you know, what a big impact it can have. You know, it's that ripple effect. You don't know, you know, who you're affecting and how much that could help somebody. It's really an important thing.
Yep. I know sometimes we've come across sounding a little preachy here with our episodes, but I can't emphasize enough for our listeners. I know we have listeners that are non-artists, listeners that are artists, listeners that want to be artists. And when I say young artists, I'm not necessarily talking about chronological age. You're maybe a young artist because you are starting your art adventure, your art life. You may be 70 years old. You may be 80 years old, you know? So when I say that's when I refer to a young artist, that's what I'm talking about. You know, not necessarily somebody's in their teens or, but that also includes them, artists of all different ages. And, we have a responsibility, a definite responsibility to the world. And so my announcement is I'm making a recommitment to get off my butt and start getting it done. I think we'll wrap up this episode before we all start crying. Okay, we're going to wrap things up. And you have been listening to the Artist Friends Podcast, episode 113 for September the 6th. My name is Clyde J. Kale, and we have been talking about art with my two best artist friends, Diane Hunt and Constance Bronson. And I'm going to say goodnight to both of them. Let Diane say goodnight to everybody.
Goodnight, Clyde. Goodnight, Constance. Goodnight, everyone.
Goodnight, Clyde. Goodnight, Diane. Goodnight, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Yes. Thank you so much, folks, for listening. And as always, if you like what you hear, please give us a positive rating on however you find us. Goodnight, everybody. Until next time.
The Artist Friends Podcast is produced and edited by Clyde J. Kale. Participating artists, Diane Hunt and Constance Bronson, and Clyde J. Kale. You can find more information about Diane Hunt at www.dianehuntstudio.com. Constance Bronson at www.etsy.com/shop/CBROSNANS. Clyde J. Kale at www.cjkaleartworks.com. If you would like to participate or appear as a guest on the Artist Friends podcast, please email cjkale@mystery-otr.com. If you enjoy these podcasts, please give us a thumbs up or a star rating. And most of all, send us your comments. This podcast is issued under the Creative Commons license.